This is the Gravy for the Brain podcast.
Our Voice have got up the One Voice Awards this year, which is obviously the highlight of your career.
Definitely. Why? I just want to say something. Thanks for the Basta Award. Yes. It sounds like a Bastard Award.
I know. I am
the voice of the Bastards.
Wonderful, isn't it? Gina, for this wonderful crowd, tell us, how did you start your career?
Well, I started in TV production. So back in, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but back in 1994, I came to London. I finished college and I came to London and I thought, what am I going to do? So I decided to get into TV production and I started with MTV. And I don't know if anyone here used to watch MTV before it went all regional. Does anyone remember Ray Cokes? Yeah. Well, I was his little minion for a bit. He used to get some little assistants in behind the cameras, but then he'd just take the piss and stuff. But anyway, I was that for 3 months, so that was my sort of first foray.
Good first gig though, right?
Quite a good one, because he was so huge then, but anyway, it was great. And I remember him telling me once, a boyfriend dumped me, which happened quite a lot. Until I met my husband, and anyway, it happened the night that I was working, and he got the cameras around. He went, Gina's got something to tell everybody. And bearing in mind that this show went out the whole way around Europe, and he said, Gina's boyfriend's just dumped her. Oh, and I had 3 or 4 phone calls saying from friends who lived around Europe, going, I'm so sorry.
Just 3 or 4.
Anyway, that was my first foray, and then I started doing PA work for somebody, one of the big wigs there, and then I went into production and was a AP producer, and I worked with the lovely Lara Romanelli, who is here tonight, and we used to work together at MTV. She's now a brilliant Italian voice. And I just worked with a lot of the shows on there, things like the Dance Floor Chart and European Top 20. And we travelled all around Europe and we filmed and we interviewed all these brilliant people. Anyway, then I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. What else should I do? And someone said I should do voiceovers, so I started in about 2000. Trying to do voiceovers.
Well, it's been a hard life so far. And what was your first VO job then?
Well, working with MTV, I did a lot of stuff for VH1, so I did some freebies for VH1, and they used to come to me and just say, oh, can you just do this, can you do this? And the good thing about that is that a lot of the people that worked in TV at that time are now with independent production companies, and so that kind of helped me back then, because they would move on, and then they thought, oh, you know, and I was one of the people they'd come to when they needed a voiceover. When I was paid.
Yeah. That's amazing. First gig at VH1.
Well, it's good. Freebie.
I mean, like, now what, right? All right. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Tell us about the BAFTA Awards. Because, I mean, that's... I'm a fellow BAFTA member, and the BAFTA Awards is arguably one of the biggest national Voice of God or announcer jobs you can get, right? It's largely, well, easily the most prestigious, I would say. So congratulations on getting it, and congratulations to them to having the foresight to put a lady doing it, which I think is wonderful. So tell us, how did you get the gig? Tell us all about it.
Well, after you said the lady, well, I think what happened was that Claudia Winkleman was doing it before, and I think she got too expensive, and then they decided, I don't know, then they found me, and then I've been doing it. So that was film, and then I moved over to TV, and then I think then she wasn't doing TV anymore, and then I did both of them for a bit. And then someone else did film. I think they got some actresses and actors, or Sophie Okonedo, I think she's, yeah, I think she did it for a bit. And then I did film again this year, but I've been doing TV for a while. In fact, I didn't do TV this year.
Which do you prefer, film or TV?
Well, both, because I kind of love TV and film, but obviously I think there's...
But George Clooney's at the film one, right?
Yeah, I mean, the kudos is maybe the film one, I don't know, but I have my name, and I'm either under Graham Norton, or I'm under Stephen Fry, or I'm under Jonathan Ross, so, you know, it's quite cool, whatever.
Debatable on some of them.
It's debatable, exactly. But it's a lovely gig, and I'm very proud to have done it. I'm very happy. WizKid, who did it, I don't think WizKid do anymore, but... WizKid who did it, they were very loyal to me, so it was very nice.
Did you do the one at the Business Design Centre in Angel?
I don't know.
Don't remember. I gatecrushed that one.
Oh no, I've never, a BAFTA?
Yeah.
No, I've never, it's either been Royal Festival Hall or...
Yeah, well, when it went down to the Commoners, I gatecrushed that one. Literally, put up a suit on, got a bit drunk and we walked in, went to the bar in the hotel next door, and Jonathan Ross was there, and he said, "You going in?" And we said, "No, we're gate crashing." And he said, "Well, come on then." And walked us in.
Yeah, times have changed.
I know, it wouldn't be like that now.
Security at Royal Festival Hall, that was a bit different.
So that's pre-record though, right?
Yeah, that's all pre-record. I do it a couple of days before, and it's 2 hours, and we just literally go through the categories. Everyone always says,
"Do you know
who's won?"
Yeah, do you know?
I'm like, no, because I'm reading the nominations.
Oh,
I'm not
course,
reading
yeah.
out the. I read the nominations and then they edit all the packages together, and that's when the presenters come up on stage and say how the nominees are.
Mm.
And then that's the package that I've just got done.
Yeah. So what would you say is the difference between live announcing, live Voice of God, and pre-record?
Well, for me, I think it's probably a personal thing. Obviously with pre-record, you've got the choice of doing very many takes a lot of the time, and I don't think clients really mind. I mean, I do a lot of pre-records, and if I don't have to go in, I do a lot of stuff from home, and the ones from home, you just send off a whole heap of takes and then I'll choose.
Yeah.
I think I did that with you.
Yes, you did.
Hi, here's a load of takes. Yeah. Good luck with the editing. But live, I mean, obviously live. Now, for me, I prefer live,
mm-hmm.
although I get incredibly nervous, because you don't really have to think about it for very long. You just have to do it because you can't do it again. It's
right.
Like when I did Continuity on ITV. I did that for a couple of years, and you know, you can't. You've
just
got 15 seconds.
Up.
You got to do it. If you piss up, then you piss up. You fuck up. And I just really prefer that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just do. I think you can give yourself a bit more to the live. You're not thinking about it so much.
Do you, with pre-record, is there any difference in the sort of projection levels? Because you can't shout over the clip point, right? So how does that work?
You've got to be careful, haven't you? I find myself being a bit like, oh, when I'm in the studio recording pre-records, I'm like, yeah. Calm it down.
And the cat's going, meow!
Yeah, I know, it's a bit like, oh. And then I think, but obviously live, you're giving it the big welly, aren't you? But even then, in live, you can give it too much.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the venue. It depends on the production company and the equipment you've got. Do you know what I mean? Because I've been in award ceremonies and the equipment has been really shit, and I've been too loud and I've projected too much and it's just come across so badly. But
yeah.
You can't really hear yourself. But no, I think I prefer live. And I think if you are wanting to get into Voice of God, try and do the live stuff more.
Because well, that's a segue, almost as if I've written it and then shown you the questions earlier.
No.
That's amazing. Any tips for people starting out in Voice of God? Well remembered.
She's very good.
Yeah. That's why she's
Any tips? Oh no, I personally don't like to look at the scripts too much. Obviously when you're pre-recording you can do, you know, you've got your own time and stuff, but with live I just think because there can be some really difficult names. I've done stuff with people all over the world, names and stuff and companies. It's difficult. I try not to look at the scripts too much because if you do then I mess up more.
Have you ever got anyone's name like catastrophically wrong?
Completely, yeah. Yes, I can't remember exactly, but yeah, I have. And they've come up to me before, or the company's come up to me before and said, "This is how this Japanese name is," or "This is how this Lithuanian name is." I'm like, "Yeah, I've got it, don't worry." No, completely wrong, and it's embarrassing.
Mm.
You know, it's like when I've messed up with continuity, yeah. Going into the final of the Rugby World Cup. That was quite difficult.
What happened there?
Well, nothing really came out. I started now on ITV. Blah blah blah.
Oh, really?
It's the biggest gig of my life, and I've just fucked it up, and I can't go back.
What, did you laugh?
No, I just cried for a week.
Yeah.
And said shit just before the bongs of ITV.
Did you really?
Yeah. I was telling Lara about this earlier. Yeah, I did have I had a phone call from the powers that be. Yeah, it went sort of, you know, now on ITV it's the... you know, the ITV News, and I did something, I don't know what, and I didn't come off, we click on and off, people know, on and off we go, and I went, oh shit.
Amazing.
Opened my eyes, looked at all the crew, and they're like, oh god, yeah.
So, we know you I know you mainly as Voice of God, but you do a lot of radio and a lot of other things here, so what else do you get up to in your day-to-day life?
Ooh.
Imaging, promo?
Yeah, I do. I'm a voice of a couple of radio stations. The Bower Network, the Bower 2 Network up north. The Breeze, I'm the voice of The Breeze. I am at the VOR, I can't remember, BBC Radio, this and that and t'other. A couple of BBC local radio stations. Yeah, Fox is any, Continuity.
Is there any, like all of them then, right? Is there any similarity? Is there any similarity between like the pre-record live announcing and like imaging or promo?
No. No, I mean, God, imaging is punchy, isn't it? Radio imaging is punchy, unless it's, you know, unless they direct you otherwise. But it is, you know, because that's the main thing that's coming out of, you know, in between the music and the DJs. Mm. But I'm quite that's kind of me. I'm quite promo-y as a voice.
Do you think so? I don't.
Yeah, I am.
I just think he's got a lovely voice.
Oh, thanks.
Not that kind of like, yeah. Should be careful what I say, shouldn't I? Okay, so you went on to, like, from the most prestigious gig of the nation, the BAFTAs, to the London 2012 Olympic Games, probably the biggest gig of the nation.
Well, I was.
How did you get that? Well, tell us all about it. What were you doing?
That came through my agent, and I was amongst a pool of voiceovers that they had chosen to, male and female, to do various venues. And we were just given various sports, and there we go. It was brilliant. I loved it because obviously we all know the 2012 Olympics was just so huge for us. It was in our country, in our city, and, you know, London, those that live there. And I was honoured. It was an absolute honour, not least I love sport and I follow sport a lot. And I did stuff for the Paralympics as well, and it was just wonderful. And I think I remember watching some athletics, and it was literally like, I can hear my voice through TV in the stadium. You know, that's, you know, for me, I don't know, call me silly, but I love that. And then the swimming as well. I did the swimming stuff, and people used to call me and say, oh, I was at the swimming or the athletics and I heard you. And it was just, it was a proud moment because it was a big moment for our country. So, yeah.
It was. And how did your voice suffer? I mean, it was like a long gig, that one, isn't it? Like a lot of projection just on
you. Yeah, I mean, it was... Again, it was a bit like the BAFTAs. It was a 2-hour gig, and you just banged out all the different sports, and, you know.
Mm. Pre-record?
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't live. I didn't do live. It was all pre-record, yeah. Right. It was Trish that does all the live stuff in the stadium in terms of the ceremonies and things. Mm. And then there was a pool of about 5 of us that did all the pre-records. We were the ones that did the, we'd tell people about the sport.
Right, okay.
About the 5-meter board, the 6-meter board, the whatever, you know, tell people about the intricacies of each sport and how the sport was, you know. It was great, I loved it.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was really good, I was very honoured.
So you've gone BAFTA Awards, 2012 Olympic Games. Is there anything left on your bucket list, your voiceover bucket list?
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Go on.
I'd love it. I'm not an actress, I'm not a trained actress, but I'd love to do animation. There's a lady at the back of the room who's brilliant at the animation things, and I big up her, Julianne, over there. But I'd love to do animation stuff and, you know, cartoons and things. I did a cartoon once, but I don't think it was very good. But yeah, I'd love to do animation. I'd love to be in one of those big films. That would be great.
They are kind of amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure that's everyone's dream. But no, yeah. I just, every day is great for me. I love my job, and every day is different. I'm sure everyone finds that, you know, different things come in, you never know what's going to happen, and I have some regular gigs, which is fantastic, and, you know, other things come in, and very lucky they find you and they want to use you.
Yeah, well, I think you're wonderful, I think you're inspirational. Thank you. Big hand for Gina, everybody.
Thank you.
Now, questions. Yes, you can't leave yet. Does anybody have any questions for Gina?
No, don't worry if you don't.
Questions. Yeah. Della Phillips. One second there, because we are recording this.
Oh, God.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would the One Voice Awards be?
What, the gig that I did for them?
Yeah.
10, baby.
Yes. There was no other possible answer you could have given.
Come on, I'm honoured to any job. It's great. I was very honoured for you to ask me. There are lots of people that can do Voice of God, so thank you.
Well, thank you for doing it for us. Yes, hold on, for God's sake.
Sister.
Hang on, Abby.
Sister, daughter.
The daughter.
The daughter. I just said sister.
No, I was just wondering, between the sort of imaging, promo sort of stuff, and the Voice of God stuff that you do, what is the biggest difference between the two? And how did you have to adapt yourself between the two jobs that you have to do?
I think, I do imaging every day every day, really, and that's kind of in a way the norm or a norm for me. And yeah, voice of God, I don't know, there's not much difference in terms of projection sometimes, because imaging for me is quite punchy. God, voice of God is so different with different companies and different whatever the awards are. I do imaging most days. Obviously each radio station has their, like The Breeze for instance, The Breeze is much more sort of, you know, down here, it's relaxed. And, you know, Bauer up north is much more up, different audience. I don't know, I'm not a character voice, I'm sort of one really, I think. I'm this.
We like it.
Yeah. So I don't, So I kind of just, well, I do what I have to do. I do what I'm asked. And it's normally this, because people know me with this.
Two more. Yes, Margaret.
What advice would you give to somebody who would like to go into doing Voice of God?
Wow. I don't know. I mean, it's in the evenings. It's quite inconvenient sometimes. The live stuff. My advice. Do you know what? I really, really enjoy it. It's something I enjoy because I like the spontaneity of it. God, I'm sorry, I'm not really good at this.
Get an agent who does Voice of God?
Yeah, get an agent. Well, no, because a lot of stuff, actually, a lot of people have come straight to me, but my agent doesn't really deal with Voice of God. I've met people through the years that have... I'm so sorry, I can't answer this question.
Don't project too much.
Projection, okay. Don't project too much, don't shout. My God, you've got the microphone in front of you, and I have shouted before. I mean, I remember... Actually, I think it was at Vox. I think I did a Vox Awards 2013, that year. And
the fighter year.
The fighter year. And I think I remember projecting too much, and it just sounded shit. And I think you just have to do quite a few. Keep going, do a few, and you'll know where you're at and where you can sit with levels and things. And also, I mean, it depends on the awards, doesn't it? It depends on the subject. When I've done medical stuff, they don't really give a shit. I've done radio stuff, they're just pissed and they're not really listening. That's when you really have to project. I did the Archivers the last year that they did it. Maybe it was my fault that they ever did it again, but I did the Archiver Radio Awards, and it was in the Roundhouse in Camden, and I was shouting, and everyone was just shit-faced down there, and I was up here in the gallery, and that needed to be projected quite a lot. You have to be careful of your voice. I mean, I've come away from those evenings and I've been really croaky, really croaky. Especially if the scripts are long. And the adrenaline as well, if you're live and you're reading a lot of script, then you're like, for me, I think adrenaline for me sometimes gets me here.
Do you get the script in advance?
Yeah, always get the script in advance.
Peter once told me a little tip for Voice of Goddess, which happened on his very first one, staple them together, because he dropped the pile on his first gig.
Oh, yeah.
And they went everywhere, and he was like...
What page are we on?
No idea, they weren't numbered.
When you've got the people, it's like TV, I'm sure, I don't know if they're TV presenters, and you know, you've got everyone in your ear, and then they suddenly decide to change things. We've scrapped that one, go to page, what's it? And literally, and then you've got to remember that the mic's not... Otherwise you'll be going, fuck, which page? Just stop. Please be careful when the mic's live and when it's not live. Often you have to do your own thing, you know. Remember the ITV thing. Shit. Going into the ITV news. Bong.
Yeah. Very good. You got time for one more?
Yeah.
One more, anyone?
No one. It's okay.
Oh, yes, we've got one at the end. There we go. 1 second.
Thank you very much for sharing your failures with us. I think it was really important for us to hear about that. Was there one particular voiceover you did where you were really dreading it, perhaps earlier in your career, and you nailed it and you thought, yeah, I'm brilliant, I can do this?
I think my pre-records really have been like that. I know that sounds weird, but I've been so nervous for the biggies, and... Oh, I did the FIFA Awards recently, actually, and the guy...
just that? A little tiny thing?
I didn't use it much. I watched it. I didn't use very much of it. But no, I did the FIFA Awards, and I came in, and the script was quite a lot, and all those, you know, Djokovic and Rokovic and all those names. No, he's a tennis player, sorry. And Ivanovic.
A bitch.
Bitch. Shit again, that comes into my mind there. And I kind of was in sporty mode. And I nailed it, and the booking was for 2 hours, and I think we took 45 minutes, and the producer literally was like, we're done. Well done. Thanks, God. Wow, brilliant. And I just walked out going, oh, it's not that good, isn't it? Thanks. Thank you very much.
That was the Internet Radio Show from GravyForTheBrain.com. Don't forget to check out our other great podcasts.